Welcome back to Community Connections for our third hour. And I should mention, of course, at 3 o'clock, Greg Carrick will be along with the Oz Indie Show between 3 and 5. Always a great show. But I have with me this afternoon Acting Sergeant Rebecca Phillips and also Acting Sergeant Susie. Now, Rebecca is from the... She's in charge at Hillsville. She looks after Yarra Glen and Warburton. So... she knows a bit about policing. She's been in the police for quite some time, and Susie's at Hillsville as well. So, welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You need to speak up, Susie. You're a bit. You're not showing up on the dial. All right. So, what we want to talk about, of course, is emergency management. We were talking to Peter, who was who's the big chief, the acting commander, or whatever she is down there at Lilydale. And she wanted to talk about emergent management because whether we like it or not, we're coming into the fire season. We hope it's going to be like last year and really a nothing, but we need to plan, I guess, for that, don't we?
Absolutely, and we're calling it the summer season.
Yep.
And that will be determined. I imagine that will start sometime in December. But we're here to talk about all the planning that we do around that, how the agencies all work together for really positive results, and how our structures work, that we've got certain members with certain titles that engage with the other agencies, SES, CFA, Ambulance Victoria, Parks Victoria, even Water, Yarra Valley Water, all of those sort of agencies that we all work together really well when it's needed, and that's because of all the preparation that we do.
That you do. Rebecca, I just want to say one thing and before we go into it, because when we start talking about emergency stuff, we as the community need to take our responsibility. We can't just say, oh, look, the police will come and notify us when it's time to go, and, oh, the police will get us out and all that. In a state of emergency, when things are really going, the police will do their best, but they can't be on every doorstep. And the same with the CFA. You can't have a truck out the front of every house, can you?
Oh, that's so true. So preparation is the key for everybody. Everybody should have a fire plan. Everybody should have well-communicated fire plans with their families and friends, places to go. And early recognition of these high-risk days is really important. Yes, the police will come, the fire agencies will come and help you where we can. That's absolutely true. We will set up protection where we can, block roads to make access easier, but that pre-preparation is, I can't emphasise it enough how important that is.
And I guess the other thing is too, it's very silly if people stay too late, because while the police will try and get you out of an area, at the same token you're trying to get fire trucks in, you're trying to get all sorts of people in, so and trees can fall over.
Absolutely, and we're talking mainly about fires right now, I think, but you know, there's so many risks involved with that. Visibility, we lose satellite access, so your mobile phones stop working. It becomes really difficult. That's why it's really important to listen to the things, the announcements made over your community radios, through social media and on the news, on any types of media platforms warning you of these risky days that are coming up.
Yep, and go early.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we do a lot of planning around that, and the emergencies aren't just things like your fires. That might be a really big one.
Yep.
But another example of where that multi-agency response is so important is just last week I was involved in a high-risk missing person where people go missing and we can't just search on foot on our own as the police. So we involve SES, we have drones up and about, we've got helicopters flying. We use social media to communicate with our community members to make them aware of what's going on. And that's it's all really, really positive. We use all of these methods to successfully find our missing people as well.
Rebecca, just to go back to fires, I don't want to keep talking about fires, but it just brings some things together. So... have you already been, talking to these organisations that you were talking about? Have you already started planning for what will be the fire season if it comes?
Absolutely, we have. So Senior Sergeant Mark Knight, who's based out of Lilydale Police Station, here's what we call our MERC, or the Municipal... Yes, our MERC. VicPol Love acronyms.
Yep, so a lot of
MERC,
groups.
Yes. A MERC is a Municipal Emergency Response Coordinator.
Yep.
So he has really important relationships with people from all of our agencies. We run training exercises involving all of the agencies.
Oh dear. Yep.
Absolutely. We will use our incident control centres. So we've got one in Wooreyallic and Lilydale, and we will stand them up and bring the agencies in and run scenarios of emergencies and, you know, see where everybody stands. So everyone's really clear in their roles. So when it comes to the emergency, those unfortunate days, we all know what our roles are and how we can best serve the community.
Rebecca, I know I keep harping back to fires, but I also hark back now to probably 2 or 3 years ago when we had the big storms that went through. So I guess, do you still work with all those groups in that sort of instance as well?
Oh, even more so. So the storms, which we've all we can all remember, we went without power for a very long time.
Yep.
For those storms. So all of the training that we do, we stand up or implement our control centres where we have meetings with the other agencies. And with that one, it was the power agencies, the telecommunication agencies, the waterways.
Council.
Yep. Everyone's involved in those meetings, whether it's in person or through video link. And we all have to work together to see who can... who's got control over the roads. VicPol, we look after traffic coordination and management.
Yep.
But we all work together to then prioritise where each agency needs to be involved. So, yeah, the storms is a perfect example of a huge amount of resources going together to more rehabilitate, respond and rehabilitate after that.
I've got to take a quick break. We've got a couple of sponsorship announcements, but we'll be back with more.
Your big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing,
we will rock you. We will rock you.
Buddy, you're a young man, hard man, shouting in the street, gonna take on the world someday. You got blood on your face, a big disgrace, waving your banner all over the place. Somebody better put your bag into your place.
Welcome back to Community Connections, and we're talking to both Rebecca and Susie. Rebecca's in charge of quite a big area from Healesville, Yarra Glen and Warburton, and Susie operates out of Healesville. Now, Susie, we've been talking about emergency management. What part are you playing in that?
So this season I'll be running the fire patrol for the Yarra Rangers.
Which is what?
So Yarra Range is being one of the third most deadliest bushfire areas in the world, actually has a standalone fire patrol that operates during the fire danger period.
Yep. But when you say fire patrol, like, we're not talking about on the road all day, every day, are we? Or what are you talking about?
We do get around and do a lot of driving around. We patrol through the state forest, through all the bush tracks in the area, and then we manage a lot of our persons of interest. So anyone that Victoria Police believes might be a person of interest for lighting a bushfire.
I was going to say, i.e. a firebug.
Yep, i.e. a firebug. We'll head out and we might visit them, we might try and communicate with them, see where they're working, see what kind of vehicles they have registered to them, and just kind of keep on top of what they've got access to, what their movements are. We also patrol a lot of the areas to see who's coming and going, random vehicles that might be in an area, and just mark, you know, these vehicles were in this car park, and then if there's a fire later in the day or something like that, it gives us, you know, that start of where we can look. And
I don't want to go too far into this because we can stigmatise people. Do you find that firebugs travel? If there was a firebug operating in an area, is it more likely they've come from somewhere else, or is it more likely they'd live in that area?
It would just depend on the person, really, and what their intention is. Like, if it's someone that's going to travel somewhere because they've watched the weather and where's dry, then, you know, that might be somewhere that we tackle. But it really depends who that person is as to why they're lighting that area. It might be, and again, don't want to stigmatise people, but if it's someone that, you know, lives nearby and has that interest in seeing fire trucks and seeing it all, it might be somewhere nearby so they can watch or whatever, but it might be somewhere that's, you know, they want to cause damage. It really just depends on the person.
Because very often a firebug, they get themselves off, I guess is a word, by seeing the fires being fought, don't they?
Correct, yeah. A lot of the time they might be nearby or waiting, and they might leave as the fire brigade are coming or something like that, or, you know, want to watch nearby or actually come and fight the fire and be involved in that instance.
So, Susie, is that the main thing? Like, you're doing that over the fire period. Do you involve with other emergency management yourself?
Throughout the year, obviously, just working as a sergeant, I'll be involved in other emergency management events. So, like the landslide that was up way Belgrave area last year, that was during fire period, so we helped at that. The floods also that were in the fire period, I assisted at the floods during that time as well. And then at the moment, there's the landslide in Sassafras that's being managed by Vic Roads, and we're all aware of that. So Victoria Police is all involved in that.
I guess with yours, it's a bit more coordinated than Rebecca. Is it Rebecca, like, you can't plan what's going to happen with yours, whereas Rebecca, you do a lot more planning to be ready for it. But I guess in the likes of what Susie does, it comes out of the blue often, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I think that's the nature of our job. We can plan all we like. And I come to work thinking I've seen everything, and then the next day I see something new again, you know. So it's the same with emergencies and storms and fires and floods. We do all the planning that we can to try and provide the best response that we can, but none are the same.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, I'm going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
Sing for the left and sing for the tear. Sing with me, it's just for two. sages. You know it's true. All the things come back to you. Sing with me, sing for the year, sing for the laughter, sing for the tear. Sing with me, just for today, never tomorrow, the good Lord will take you away. Dream on, dream on, dream on, dream of that dream come true. Dream on, dream on, dream on, dream until your dream come true.
I'm talking to both Rebecca and Susie from Victoria Police, and we're talking about emergency management. Rebecca, you just wanted to add a little bit to what Susie was saying before.
Yeah, so Susie did a great job in talking about our fire patrols that we have dedicated in the Eastern Region or Yarra Ranges area. So we also use those fire patrols for a lot of planning as well. I know I'm talking a lot about planning, but that's...
No, but that's important.
It is really important.
Yep.
So when an emergency does take place, such as the bushfires or things like that, Victoria Police ourselves are generally... we're looking after traffic management. So a part of that is having safe places for our roadblocks to be situated.
Yep.
So while Susie's out and her members are out doing the fire patrols and patrolling our areas, they can identify potential safe places for us to create those traffic management points.
Yep.
And that's really important too, because that can be a really hard and dynamic decision that you've got to make. And so if I've got a general area that I need to set up a roadblock or something like that, and I already know in my mind or I've got it recorded where a safe place is, that's something that I can get implemented really quickly.
Yep.
And then that's just going to benefit everybody around it by making the place a lot safer and, you know, using less time in our implementation of getting in control of these emergency situations.
And, of course, bushfires don't go the way that you always want them. They can turn around and go sideways and everything, can't they?
Absolutely, they can. Yep. So, yeah, that's why we need so many of those traffic management places to be pre-planned. And then, like I said, it can be very dynamic. They might have to move. We've got to be, you know, safety is our priority for the community and for our members.
Oh, absolutely.
We do not want anyone getting hurt. So, you know, whatever we can do to keep people safe, that's, you know, that's how we go about it.
And you were saying about social media. You use social media a lot.
We are starting to use social media a lot. You'll notice that there's a lot of local pages. We call them iWatch.
Yep.
But also the community groups are also using their own pages as well on Facebook and other social media platforms. They're keeping really, really educated and really good communication with each other, neighbours, communities. So the example I used before of the missing person we recently had in Yarra Junction, I was driving around Healesville and every person that I spoke to had seen the post on some sort of platform.
Yep.
And it's not always, we don't necessarily do those posts because we want people to get out and search and put themselves at risk. We definitely don't want that.
Yep.
It's about awareness. If you see something that you think might be useful, whether it was on that day or the day before, we can always use that information. With the missing person we had on the weekend, the reason that we had our search area was because there had been sightings of him and there'd been a bit of chatter on social media right up until a point at a particular place.
Yep.
And then it dropped off. Nobody had seen him and he was quite distinctive. So we based our search area around that from information from the community, and we were lucky enough to find him close enough to that search area.
It's terrific, isn't it?
It's wonderful, yeah.
So it's a really good outcome for for the person.
Yeah, absolutely. And when the bigger emergencies come, we use things like text messages, and this is a statewide service through the text message warnings, radio platforms like yourself, the social media. It's all really informative. We use it for positive things as well. You can see some of the fun things that we're doing in the community. You may even see a photo of Susie and I here in the radio studio a little bit later. But the more people are informed and aware, the more information we can get and the more we can attribute to keeping the community safe.
Well, because there's a lot more community than what there are police. So, I mean, the more of the general population you can use, the better off it is for everybody, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're all using it for the greater good. It's, you know, there's no tricks involved there. It's if we're searching for someone or if we've got, you know, some emergency evolving or things like that, we're using it to benefit that person or that situation or families involved to try and resolve that situation. So we also communicate things like we've got 18 neighbourhood safer places throughout the Yarra Ranges area. They've all been inspected by the CFA, Victoria Police, and the local government. And so what we're using those for is when there's a situation, whether it be a flood, a fire, a storm that we talked about from last year, these are your last resort places. So if you haven't been able to plan and get out at that earlier opportunity, we do have places that we can that we have set up for you to utilise.
Rebecca, can I ask you, what's the trigger? It's like, say something is evolving and something's starting to happen. At what point is there a trigger that either the police or someone contact one and all of a sudden all the agencies get involved, or is it a one-on by one? If you need the SES, you get hold of the SES, or is that how it works?
So I guess it depends, again, on the situation itself. So, for example, the search that I organised last week, our first point of call there is because we want to get a land search done, so we get the SES involved.
Yep.
We had our aerial platform as well. With your bigger events...
Can I just go back?
Yes.
Because you've talked a bit, you said aerial platform. What do you mean by aerial platform?
Aerial platform would be our helicopter.
Oh, right.
So we've also had some members trained up in using drones.
I was going to ask you, do you use drones?
We do, yes.
Yep.
So the drones are really wonderful as well. They're quick to get up. We have members on the ground that are trained to drive them, fly them, pilot them.
Pilot
them,
yeah.
Yes. So they can give us, we can look over a big area with those. They don't have the heat sensors like the police helicopter does, but they still give us a really good aerial view.
Well, and they're designed to just do a quick job, aren't they?
Rather absolutely.
Than, yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess the other things with the drones, you can get them over a fire, can't you? Because... I mean, you don't want to burn a helicopter, but, I mean, if a drone happens to go missing, well, it's not the end of the world, is it?
Well, this is true. I'm not sure how a drone would go up above a fire, actually. It might drop into the fire. The helicopter's above the fire, hopefully, are dropping water on it. So.
No, I meant the police helicopter. If he's up there by himself, a drone is a bit more expendable than...
Well, this is very true.
All right, let's go take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. just a quick reminder that Greg will be along at 3 o'clock with the Oz Indie Show, all the latest releases for 2 hours. And then, of course, next Wednesday, I'll be here Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. And then on next Wednesday, our private investigator, P.I. Peter, will be in. So we'll be talking to him as well. But we're talking to Rebecca and Susie from the local police. Rebecca's in charge of a number of areas and Susie's out of Hillsville, so they're just down the road. Susie, you want to talk a little bit more about platform? We've got to keep explaining to people what the platform is because I and they don't know.
Yeah, so as Rebecca said, we utilise aerial platforms, yeah. Being aeroplanes, drones, everything, those sorts of devices. So,
yep.
So then between Victoria Police, the SES, CFA, we actually have a computer program that we all can use called, we call it MCOP, so Emergency Management Common Operating Platform.
Or program.
And on that we can actually see, so during fires we can see where the fires are, during floods we can see where the rain clouds are, we can see where lightning's striking, we can log in and we can see the footage from the fire bombing planes dropping the water. All that is in one central platform so that when we are at the incident control centres that we set up and work with these other agencies, all that data is in that one place. So,
they can all go in to the same program and
yep.
see all the same stuff.
Yeah, so like earlier this year, there was a few fires out west. We went into one of the CFA stations. They were looking at footage from the aeroplane drone. Then I actually came up to Wurrialik, which is where one of our incident control centres is.
Where's that? Is that where the CFA are situated?
There's a parks building and an incident control CFA building in behind, like, the main street of Wurrialik.
Yeah, because we used to be in Wurrialik, the stage used to be. And I think they're opposite. You go down the side street.
The street name's just escaping me at the moment. But I walked in there and the senior sergeant was in the same program that the CFA members had just been viewing. And it was good because you could see where the lightning was hitting just outside where this firestorm was. And it just meant that everyone could kind of track where everything was going and what warnings were coming on those total fire ban days as well.
With can I just ask you, and this is probably off another, it's a bit the same as what you talk about. So with the police helicopter, is it flying around all day every day, or is it just, or do you only bring that out when you need it?
We only bring it out when we need it. So it costs a lot for the police helicopter to get up and but it is there's 3 at the moment, is there?
Yeah.
I think there's 3 in operation at the moment. So we might call them if we are looking for a missing person. That's one reason to get them up. They can fly over. They've got a fixed-wing plane, another one where they can use, like, the heat and everything as well. But they also are assisting in other jobs. So they might
be searching. Yeah, because I've seen them out at night quite often. I was just wondering whether they sort of went out at a particular time during the night doing surveillance or whether they just... You call them out when you needed them.
We mainly call them out when we need them. And, look, it can be for things like stolen vehicles and things like that as well. But then they prioritise the job. So, obviously, a missing person might take precedence over a stolen vehicle. And
that's the way it should be.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a fascinating thing to see them up because you wonder what they're up there doing. And the trouble is if they come over your house, you think, oh, I wonder where the problem is. But obviously you just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I'll take a quick break and we'll be back with one more, another conversation.
All alone.
Now, one thing we're going to talk about, you would not get me up in one of these. I don't say there's anything wrong with them, but I like to have my feet on the ground. You want to talk about hot air balloons.
So, yeah.
I wouldn't go up in one.
Hot air balloons. Obviously, the Yarra Valley, great place to see. So, yep. We get a lot of tourists and stuff going up in the hot air balloons. Victoria Police has a lot of involvement with those hot air balloons going up. So,
do they?
Yeah. So, all the hot air balloons that go up... it's actually through Lilydale Police Station. They're notified of where the balloons are going up from, where they're landing, a contact person on that balloon if something was to go wrong or if there was an issue, obviously, so that we can have a direct contact. So if someone said, oh, something's happened to this balloon in this area, we've already got a contact. So it's all that pre-planning that Beck has talked about heaps. We do that with the hot air balloons as well.
So each balloon that goes up, you know all about them and where they're going and where they should come down.
Yep, and times that they're meant to be up and landing so that we're all across it.
Gee, that's amazing. I wouldn't have thought that.
Yep.
Now, you wanted to talk about Mount Donabuoang too in the snow season.
Yeah, so earlier this year there was a lot of cars that got stuck on Mount Donabuoang because the snow set in and it became quite slippery and... Yep. So on the back of that, there's another thing for that social media and being aware early on is that Mount Donabuoang has a Facebook group that, you know, actually was notifying people to stop coming. So a lot of, and even over the summer season, a lot of places that tourists will go or even locals will go now have a community group for that area. So if someone, if you're planning on going somewhere, Redwood State Forest or the national parks, it's always good to jump on their websites, their Facebook page, even punch it in Google and it will tell you where to look if it's open that day or, you know, if there's bad weather predicted there. A lot of websites now have the weather for the area on there just to make a better assessment before people go to these places when it's bad weather.
Because there's nothing worse than people heading off knowing that... you know, it's not a good day to go, but you still get some gooses that do it, don't you?
Yeah, you definitely do. There was I know there was one four-wheel drive, boys and their four-wheel drives, taking them out. The wet weather the other week, two, 3 weeks ago, there was a young lad that had recently got his licence and decided to go four-wheel driving in the dark at night time because, you know, thought it would be fun and got stuck and Victoria Police had to go and help.
Well,
help
and that's what happens with young blokes. See, we're invincible. Nobody thinks a young bloke can do anything wrong and they're going to live forever.
Correct. But I think just everyone knowing where they're going and that weather and those high risk. Yes, it might be fun to go out somewhere on a hot day or a wet day, but you've got to think about yourself and everyone else if something happens to you, putting other people at risk.
And as we were saying before, and I was saying to Rebecca, that you can't always rely on getting out of a place because trees fall down and the police will do their best, but you've got to get fire trucks in and all sorts of emergency vehicles too, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's I was just going to bring that up too, is that... You mentioned before about what sparks what level of emergency response. Yep. Well, what sparks what level of emergency planning? So everyone sees the fire danger rating signs that are on the sides of the roads. Yep. And even when you're watching the weather forecast on the news, we talk about what level of danger is predicted in days coming forward. So that sort of goes back to what Susie's talking about. You need to be planning forward. It's so important because if you're going to the snow and they're predicting a 20 centimetre dump, it's going to be probably not the best day to get out of there with your sedan that's on slick road tyres.
Yep.
And same with the wet weather. You know, we know that there's roads that flood and, you know, a big downfall can bring that on. So it's about preparation, looking at your websites, looking at your social media platforms, watching the news, listening to the radio.
Rebecca, I'm going to ask you something because you've been in the force quite some time. Why every time there's a flood, we get cars driving into floods? And you don't need much water for a car to float away, do you?
I think it's a little bit of... It's not even about the floating away. It's about not being able to see what's underneath the water. Yeah. So you can
so
see
why
the top
do they
of the water.
It?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't have an answer for that. Yeah. It's It's because I think you can see the top of the water and you think, oh, that's nice and smooth. I'm just going to drive through. There was a road under there last time I saw it, but they don't realise that the road's washed away and now there's a big hole.
And they go over bridges that could have been washed away.
Yes.
And then it amazed me. And down in South Melbourne, there's a bridge near the South Melbourne Market, and I know you're both laughing because every time there's a downpour, it floods, and every time there's cars get stuck under there.
Yeah, there's trucks that get stuck under that bridge, I think.
Oh, Montague Street.
Yeah, Montague Street.
But I can't understand. There wouldn't be a person in Australia that doesn't know that bridge floods or the height of the other one.
Do you know what I think too, is that everybody is always so busy. Everyone, and people use Google Maps a lot. So we don't use Melways anymore.
Yeah.
You're talking about me being old.
No, I didn't say you're old.
When I joined Victoria Police, we used Melways to get everywhere. Now we're using Google Maps. And so if Google Maps tells you to go one way, you don't know that there's an alternative route. So you're like, well, actually, this road might have water all over it, but this is where Google Maps is telling me I got to go, so I don't know how to get there any other way.
Rebecca, I'm going to put you on the spot, and I'm not here to embarrass you at all. Over the years that you were in the force, what do you think is the biggest improvement that you've got? Is it Google Maps, or is it the air wing, or is there any one particular item that you look back and say, gee, we should have had that 100 years ago, but now we've got it's a lot better.
100 years ago. I don't think I joined 100 years ago.
No, I didn't say you did. No, but you know what I mean.
I do, yes.
Well, we go back 20 years ago. The technology's improved so much. I mean, I can remember one time when, and we're talking fires again, when the CFA's communication system dropped out. So they didn't know where their trucks were and they couldn't contact them. So that's all been fixed now. But so is there one thing that you say, well, that's really been fantastic?
Just being able to use electronic, files. You know, when I joined, we were using typewriters a little bit. So being able to send files electronically, not having to print everything out, sending it through the mail, even things to court, to people at other stations. It's the electronic systems have improved and continue to improve. Even like you just spoke about radios dropping out, we still have that issue now every now and then, but we've all got mobile phone devices devices. So we have backup ways to communicate and to see where our members are. I think we've come a long way, really off topic, in supporting our members and the community through loads and loads of support groups, mental health, safety.
I was going to mention that.
Yes. You know, our the way we look after our members is hugely improved on when I first joined. Yep. I know that it's a passion of mine, is making sure that all of my members are safe, they're happy coming to work. You know, they feel valued, and it's the same with the members of the community, and that's how we respond to them. I want, if someone rings me in their time of need, I want them to know that I value them and what they're saying in their situation. So I think that's in that.
Because once upon a time, pardon me, particularly if you're a policeman, and I do make the distinction, because they would have just said, harden up, wouldn't they? Because that's what they did.
Yeah.
And it wasn't only in the police force, it was anywhere. You know, I interview quite a few people about mental health, and a few years ago, a tradie, they'd have just said, well, harden up.
Yeah.
Your problem.
And sometimes even some of the younger people still feel like that might be a little bit of an expectation, and I take that as a responsibility of mine to make sure that it's no judgment. I want people to get the help. I want them to be happy and healthy. Yeah. I'll do what I can to ensure their support. So we have a lot of that in Victoria Police.
Unfortunately, ladies, you wouldn't believe it. The hour's gone. thank you for coming. We look forward to talking to police again in certainly sometime in the very near future. But thank you for coming today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks.